How do you do? If you've ever longed to be somebody else, then you can relate to the man in this story. He always felt like an outcast, even in his own family. Labeled a black sheep as a teenager, he lived down to the name, hating himself, longing to be somebody else. And he was, when his heart and mind and life were unshackled. Proclaiming the good news to a hurting world, this is Unshackled. True life stories that light the way, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Some homeless people have been that way for years, living on the edge of nowhere, unable, and some would say unwilling, to change. But folks at Pacific Garden Mission know better. They've seen people like that come to the old lighthouse, where they receive a warm welcome no matter how many times they've spent the night there, where, along with the food, clean clothing, and a safe place to sleep, they're offered classes and counseling to help them break free of the shackles holding them down. The motto at Pacific Garden Mission is, never give up on them, because they've seen hopeless and hardened people find new life and even go out to help others, like the man in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2528 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Hello?
Mom? It's me, black sheep of the family.
Jeff, you're drunk, aren't you?
Yeah. For the last time, you'll be happy to know.
Don't I wish? Can't you see what you're doing to yourself?
I can't. I don't care anymore, Mom. I don't care about anything. I'm so depressed, all I want to do is die.
No woman is worth that.
You don't understand. Some things a man can't live with.
Jeff.
He ought to die for what he did to me. But I can't do it. I tried. I can't do it, Mom. So, I'm going to kill myself.
Jeff.
I got these pills. Now, they ought to do the trick. I'm going to take them right now. While we're talking.
Don't do it, Jeff. Please don't.
I can't go on, Mom. It hurts too much.
Your dad and I are coming over right now, okay? Wait until we get there, please.
It's too late, Mom. I just called to say goodbye.
Suicide is a drastic and final statement about pain. Whether the pain is physical, emotional, or imagined, for the one who is suffering, pain can no longer be endured. This testimony reveals some of the reasons the man in our story suffered, what he tried that didn't work, and the answer that was right there all along. For those who live day by day without hope, this true story of Jeff Hipley offers hope right now on Unshackled.
I knew I was different from age 5 when I was diagnosed with epilepsy. And had to ride a special bus right past the other jeering kids to a special education class. My two brothers and friends called me a mental case and worse. I lived with the ridicule because Dad and Mom were strict disciplinarians. We went to church until about the time my sister was born. And then, almost overnight, Dad took to drinking and everything changed.
Where'd it go? I know I had another bottle out here.
Dad, you out here?
Just a minute.
Were you looking for something, Dad?
No, I'm just... I forgot what I was doing, son.
Well, is it okay if I spend the night at Doug's house?
Yeah, sure. Maybe it's in the car.
What? Dad. Oh, man.
What's going on out there?
My Dad just passed out on the porch.
What am I going to do with him?
Leave him right there.
It isn't funny, Jeff. I'm sick to death of his drinking. If I could just scrape up enough money, I'd take you kids and leave.
Look, I'm staying with Doug tonight.
I didn't say you could.
Dad said I could.
You have chores to do, young man.
I'll do them when I get back.
As Dad withdrew from our lives, Mom became the taskmaster. But after she went to work, even she let up on us, and my rebellion grew. I never felt good about myself, and wanting to be cool, I hung out with the fighters and drinkers and began drinking at 15. The school brought in speakers to warn us about the dangers of alcohol, but I laughed it off. I knew better. After I graduated, my uncle gave me an old car, and I went to truck driving school.
I hear you got your license today, Jeff.
Yeah, sure did.
Shouldn't be too hard to line up a job.
Carl wants me to work with him at the Ice House.
Your cousin?
Yeah. He runs it now. Said I could start driving for them all over Baltimore.
Oh, that's a bad idea, Jeff. You know how he drinks.
Oh, so what?
Your mom's right, son. He likes to stop off at the bars every night.
And he's always getting into trouble with the law.
Oh, come on. I just want to make some money so I can fix up my car. I don't care what he does after work.
First thing you know, he'll drag you along to the bars.
It's a real job with good pay, and I can handle it. Sure enough, my cousin persuaded me to hang out at bars with him, where the girls were. I was drawn by the promise of good times, the illusion of being accepted, even though their lives were a mess. Drinking made me, well, at least for a time, somebody else, somebody they liked. Little by little, I became like them as night after night, we closed the bars.
So when are you going to cut loose and try the wild side of life, Jeff?
Oh, you mean drink the hard stuff? Nah. I'm happy with my beer, Carl.
What kind of a Hitler are you, anyway?
Hey, listen, dude. I've seen what John Barleycorn does to you. Dad's a riot when he's loaded, bouncing off the walls like a human tennis ball.
Yeah, he's a Hitler, all right. You know what Andy always says. You gotta grow up, get tough, or die.
Yeah. His tattoo says it all. Death is certain. Life is not.
So try some whiskey.
Sure. Why not? My first encounter with hard liquor was disastrous. The road home was narrow and curved, and I was driving way too fast when I blacked out. My car ran straight into an oak tree, and I flew headfirst into the windshield.
Jeff, what in the world happened to you?
Somebody just ran me off the road.
You were drinking, weren't you?
Not much.
How bad is the car?
I think it's totaled. I left it there.
Where?
Oh, about a half mile down the road. I walked home.
Oh, you've got blood all over your head and slivers of glass.
Well, my head hit the windshield.
I can't believe you were stupid enough to do something like that.
Yeah.
You could lose your license driving under the influence like that. And then where would you be?
Let me alone, Mom.
You better line up for a ride to work tomorrow, too.
You'd make a great drill sergeant, Mom. You know that? Drinking led to four more wrecks, cars as well as relationships. I tried women the way I tried different kinds of beer, but they always found someone else who didn't drink as much. My cousin and I both lost our jobs with the ice company. He spent a month in rehab, but I didn't think I had a problem. Then I survived a big truck accident, quit driving, and got into construction. Bouncing around until I found a good job. There was only one problem. A co-worker that was a Christian.
You know, Jeff, I used to have a drinking problem, too. God delivered me from booze and drugs, and he'll do the same for you. He loves you, buddy.
Yeah, don't give me that. If he loves me so much, then why was I born with epilepsy?
God's ways are past finding out, Jeff. Anything he allows in your life, he can use to help save others.
Oh, who cares about the others? What about me?
God says, my strength is made perfect in weakness.
What does that mean?
It means the bigger the flaw you have, the more God is magnified through you.
Yeah, well, I still say with all the hungry people in the world and all the violence, God must not care very much.
You're wrong about that, Jeff. He cares more than you know.
My heart was hardened to God, and I left that job mainly to be with guys who enjoyed drinking as much as I did. Foolishly, I went to work with a bunch of drunks and ran up hundreds of dollars in bar bills. By 1983, I had a good job, thought I was finally getting my life in order. That's when I met Doreen, who was nothing like me. She was finishing college, didn't drink, and didn't believe in God.
My parents tried to send me to Hebrew school, but that stuff just doesn't interest me. I demanded to go to public school.
Hebrew schools? You're Jewish?
Yeah. We're not religious, though. We just celebrate the holidays.
Now, does that mean we can't be married?
Well, Jeff, I love you, but I wouldn't marry someone who drinks the way you do.
Oh, I don't drink that much.
Oh, yes, you do. I like you much better when you're sober.
Well, why don't we just live together for a while and see how it goes? I tried to curb my drinking, and we lived together for a year before buying a home jointly. After that, my drinking accelerated along with the breakdown of our relationship. We fought about everything.
I'd like to get better furniture, Jeff.
What's wrong with what we have?
Oh, why are you always satisfied with the things as they are? Honestly, Jeff, you have no ambition at all.
Hey, I work hard to pay the bills. What more do you want?
The finer things in life. If you didn't spend all your time in bars, we'd have more money.
Yeah, you're just like your mother.
And you're just like your dad and your cousin. You'll end up just like them, too. Hopeless alcoholic.
You're so smug. You think you're better than us, huh? Miss High and Mighty.
Well, I'm not a drunk, and you are. You're hopeless. How did I ever get into this mess? I feel like I'm in prison with no way out.
In less than a year, she would choose a way out that left me so desperate, murder seemed to be my only option.
We'll hear more about that in just a moment. Why would anyone reveal a past filled with embarrassing secrets? Well, two reasons mainly. The first is to help others who are struggling with similar problems. And the second is to give credit to the one who set them free. That's how Unshackled began. People who came to Pacific Garden Mission and found new life would stand up in meetings or on street corners and tell others how they had been rescued by the Prince of Peace, set free of habits and attitudes that kept them enslaved. Nearly 50 years ago, we started broadcasting these true testimonies on radio, first in Chicago, then across the nation, and now around the world, translating them into Arabic, Spanish, and Romanian. At almost any hour of the day or night, Unshackled is being heard somewhere, the longest-running radio drama in the history of broadcasting. Millions hear these true testimonies, some through our website, which is www.unshackled.org, and letters that pour in tell of listeners who come out of darkness when they hear the truth that sets them free. If you'd like to share your testimony, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. And please include your address.
We had been living together about 4 years when I found a better job with great benefits, one of which was the boss, who became a good friend. Dave was a recovering alcoholic whose wife had many problems. The four of us went out together, and in time, he gave up sobriety and went to bars with me after work. Mostly, we grabbed about our women.
You've tried counseling too, huh?
Oh, we've tried everything. Therapy at $90 an hour, my mother's minister, and many others. Nothing helps. She just wants to change me.
Now that you need it.
She's the problem, man. Fights about everything. Our family and friends, our jobs, my drinking. It's getting so I hate to go home anymore. I drink until I pass out as soon as I walk in the door.
I never thought of doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't really work. She wakes me up to fight the rest of the night.
I'll tell you what, Jeff. You like to drink hard, so does my wife. Maybe we should trade. You take my wife and give me your girlfriend.
That night, I passed out at the bar, and he took me home. When we arrived, I passed out on the sofa and woke up at 6 in the morning. I could hear them talking, so I got up to get a drink and discovered them hugging and kissing. Hey, what's going on?
We're just talking about his wife's problems, and I was trying to comfort him.
Are you back in the land of the living? You went out like a light, Jeff.
Yeah. You stayed all night?
Well, yeah, I didn't want to risk driving while I was drinking.
Well, speaking of drinking, I need something for this hangover. I was in no mood to fight with either of them, so I took her word for what I saw. Not long after that, I even volunteered to check in at an alcohol rehabilitation center. Doreen was thrilled. She cried tears of joy when she dropped me off, and I had high hopes. I called her every day. Doreen? Hey, is everything okay?
Yeah, sure.
We're only allowed to call once a day, and I can only talk for 15 minutes.
I don't even have that long.
I've been here 3 days, Doreen, and already I know I'm an alcoholic.
I've been telling you that for years, but you wouldn't listen.
Well, they gave us a list of 20 questions, and I failed 19 of them.
I believe it.
I look at the others here and see myself. But I really think they can help me.
I hope so.
You know, they have some good ideas on how to fight addiction. I have a lot of hope.
Listen, Jeff, I just got home from work and I'm tired. I really don't feel like talking right now.
Well, are you coming to visit on Wednesday?
I don't know yet.
Day by day, she seemed to lose interest in me. When I finished the program and she picked me up, I was shaking inside from lack of alcohol, but determined to stay sober. Our roles had reversed. She was the one who left home for 2 or 3 days without saying anything, and our fighting continued.
Jeff, the bills are piling up. I just can't take it anymore.
Well, what do you expect? Boss gave me time off for rehab, but they aren't going to pay me when I didn't work. And rehab isn't free.
Well, we've got to do something. I don't want to lose the house because of your drinking.
It's always my drinking, isn't it? Even when I quit, you're not happy.
Well, how can I be happy when they're about to foreclose?
Ask your parents to help. You're always bragging about how successful they are.
Well, they won't lend me the money as long as we're in this together.
Then why don't you just buy me out? That's what you want, isn't it? You want to be free of me.
She agreed to buy you out?
Yeah. But I'll stay there until the settlement and use the money to find another place.
You're splitting up then?
Well, for a while anyway.
Well, sometimes a little separation helps.
Yeah, I can hope.
Well, listen, Jeff, maybe you ought to transfer to another job site to help your recovery.
Well, we're not drinking together, Dave. What's the point?
Well, sobriety has been good for you, Jeff. I just want to do all I can to help.
I was suspicious of Dave after that, but Doreen denied any involvement with him. She avoided me, leaving as soon as I got home and staying away for long periods of time. One day, however, she announced that she was going on vacation for a week. He was gone as well. After she returned, I discovered evidence that they had been together, and I called her at work.
This is Doreen.
I thought it was strange that you and Dave were both gone on vacation at the same time. You were together, weren't you?
All that drinking has warped your mind, Jeff.
You're lying. I found motel receipts in your jacket pocket and letters that prove you two are having an affair.
How dare you go through my pockets? You get out of my house right now.
Slut.
It's my house. Get out or I'll have you arrested. I'm sending for the police right now.
Dave here.
Dave, did you spend a week with my girlfriend in the Pocono Mountains?
Hey, that's none of your business, Jeff.
I found the evidence, you snake. You stole her.
Listen, you lost her a long time ago, Jeff. Your drinking drove her away.
You're a lying cheat. I'm going to tell your wife about this.
I don't care. Our marriage is over anyway. Doreen is all that matters now.
You better be looking over your shoulder from now on. I stayed with my parents for a few days until I got an apartment, but a jealous rage consumed me. Every night I would ride around until I spotted his truck hidden in her neighborhood. I threatened to kill him openly and bought a gun, even practiced shooting from my car. I wanted him dead, and me too. I started drinking again to build my courage to do the deed. Meanwhile, my step-grandmother Betty bombarded me with phone calls and scripture verses almost daily. Hello?
Jeff? Did you get the pamphlets I sent you?
Yes, Betty.
Well, you be sure and read them, dear. They explain very well why you need the Lord.
I may need the Lord, Betty, but it's too late. God doesn't want anything to do with me now.
Nobody deserves God's love. He loves us anyway.
You don't know what I'm like.
God knows. And he's still willing to forgive you if you ask him. Read the book of Romans, Jeff. God says we're all sinners and the penalty for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
But Betty, all I can think about is revenge.
Jeff, forgive Dave.
I can't forgive him. He betrayed me.
But take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, Neither will your father forgive your trespasses.
He ought to be the one asking forgiveness, not me.
Well, he needs the Lord, too. But right now it's you I'm concerned about, Jeff. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for your sins. That's how much he loves you. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It says, But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
I looked up the verses when she hung up and concluded that I could never forgive Dave. Therefore, God would never forgive me. But neither was I able to go through with killing him. So I decided to settle on taking my own life. I bought a bunch of illegal drugs in a bar, and on April 27, 1990, after drinking all day, I decided to end my life. I called Mom, and then Betty, my step-grandma.
Don't do it, Jeff. There's no hope if you die without Christ.
There's no hope anyway, Betty.
There is. God loves you. He can change everything.
It's too late, Betty. I've already swallowed most of the pills.
Jeff, no.
You've been a wonderful grandmother to me. Goodbye, Betty. I'm sorry. I learned later that my parents arrived to find me unconscious. They called paramedics who rushed me to the hospital. By the next morning, I was out of the woods and ashamed of my actions.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Why'd you do something like that, son?
The sheriff asked me the same thing. Because God has forsaken me.
A man told me more than 20 years ago that when you feel far away from God, it's only because you have moved away from him.
Get me out of here, please.
They're trying to decide what to do. The rehab ward here don't have room, and they can't let you be alone.
We'll take you home with us.
The hospital let me go after I promised to meet with a sponsor from Grandmother's church that day.
I'm so glad to see you, Jeff. Sit down, honey. Mike will be here pretty soon to talk with you. How are you doing?
Okay, I guess. I really wanted to die.
Well, Jeff, people think death is a way out. But without Christ, it's only a way into eternal damnation. God spared you, Jeff. And he has a plan for your life that's good.
No, I don't think so.
Well, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
I'm afraid the only thing I ever expected was ridicule and pain. When it came to women, I always expected them to leave me for somebody else.
Jeff, you keep repeating the same mistakes. Because Satan controls you, and you have no power to resist.
Yeah, I believe that.
Jesus said, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again, Jeff.
I could use a new start.
God promises you a new heart and a new vision when you come to him, so you'll see your past in a new way.
Yeah, maybe.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 promises, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
You really think I can change?
I know Jesus can change you. You've seen the change he made in me. When Christ comes to live in your heart, he promises never to leave you or forsake you. And he begins a work in you that continues throughout your life.
Will he really accept me just as I am?
Yes, Jeff. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
I spent the day with Mike, the man from Betty's church, who gave me hope because he had been sober for 24 years. He reinforced the things Betty had told me. When I got back to my apartment, Mom was waiting. She poured out all the booze and removed the bottles. When she left, I was shaking inside, alone for the first time without alcohol to support me. I fell on my knees and asked God to save me. I knew right away something special had happened. And the first one I told was Betty. Betty, I gave my life to Christ last night.
Oh, praise God. Jeff, I've really been praying for you.
I know you were, Betty. The peace of God just covered me like a blanket.
It's wonderful to know him, Jeff. Now you'll begin to live.
You were right, Betty. God really does love me.
Go to church with me Sunday, Jeff. You need to hear the word.
I began to attend church services with Betty and Mike. Mike drove 29 miles for 90 days to encourage and to disciple me. Since the day Jesus set me free, I've testified about God's grace at work and at home. First time I preached, in 1993, six people were saved, including my father. Today I'm in Bible college, preparing for ministry. I also serve as an evangelist in prisons. In 1994, I married a beautiful Christian, and God gave us a son. I'm here to testify that whatever has you bound, the Lord Jesus Christ will set you free.
We hope that Jeff's story has encouraged you as much as it did us. Do you know any other way that a life so broken has been transformed as suddenly, as completely and permanently? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. To learn more about this life-changing power from God or to get help in making this crucial decision for Christ, you're invited to get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org. Make it a point to tell your friends and neighbors about this program so they can listen next time. And remember, thank the manager of this station for broadcasting these wonderful testimonies. And don't forget us. We'd like to hear from you to know that you're a friend of Unshackled. This is program number 2528. Heard in the true story of Jeff Hipley were Tim Gregory, Joanne Silvestrak, Fern Persons, Darwin Apel, David Stewart, and Connie Foster. Original music, Ralph Colburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. This program is for you, our listener, so please write and tell us if these stories touch your life as much as they do ours. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Looking for answers? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who's been there and who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.